I want to just encourage you guys to continue praying for the government and the foundation, irrespective of where we stand with regards to the election. Let's continue praying for them. And many people react in fear or in elation and in victory. And neither one of those reasons is good enough to stop praying. Sometimes God does a miracle, He answers our prayers, and then we stop praying because the thing has come through. Or sometimes we pray and God doesn't answer and we stop praying. Okay, because it didn't happen. Just like, ladies, for many of you, just because Philip is getting married now, doesn't mean you should stop praying for him. Please do continue praying for him and his wife-to-be, Janetta. Okay? As you are praying for all of us. So, let's remain in an attitude of prayer. It adds on to what I want to speak to us about. And I started with us about 4 Sundays ago in the evening. And I continued with us in the morning service. And I know that most of you guys, you missed the morning service due to it being Afrikaans. So I'm going to just recap here and there. But at the beginning of the month, the first Sunday of the month, we spoke about just something which the Lord has laid on our hearts. It's the leadership of this church, and we've sort of been continuing with that. Philip has been touching on this as well as some of the other people have ministered here. And I would like to continue speaking to us this evening about being sober and vigilant. And I want to just really ask us that question at the beginning of this evening: how sober are we? How sober are we? And that basically just means, do we have things in right perspective? Do we have the right lenses on through which we are looking at life, through which we are looking at God, through which we are looking at ourselves, through which we are looking at the people next to us, at our callings, at our government, our nation, things that happen nationally and internationally? Do we have the right lenses on? And the Apostle Peter spoke to some of the Christians in the early church in 1 Peter 5 verse 8. And he told them, and he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Message translation says, keep a cool head. Stay alert. The devil is poised to pounce and would like nothing better than to catch you napping. Be sober and be vigilant. Keep a cool head. Stay alert. And this point was driven home very forcefully to me just the other day again when we went back to Stellenbosch and they just met some people who know, a very dear friend of theirs, and we hear stories like these often. A medical doctor by profession and a man that's very eloquent and tremendously successful in life. And one morning, he went off to work and normally his wife would take the kids to work. And that specific morning, his wife was ill, and so they swapped duties. And he would drop the little baby that they had to drop off at the daycare. He was going to drop her off. Normally it would be his wife doing that. Normally he would go straight to work. So they discussed things and he got into his car and he drove with the little 8-month-old baby straight to work. And at about 11 o'clock in the morning, somebody came rushing into his office where he was seeing some patients. He rushed out and it was too late. The baby had died. He wasn't sober. Just for a few hours. Just for a few hours, had forgotten the immensity of the treasure given to him. Had forgotten the immensity of responsibility given to him. And my heart broke for him. Because how do you get through something like that? And as a dad, I can think of nothing worse than being responsible for your own child's death. Irrespective of what people say. It was your negligence. You weren't sober. You didn't think. Just for that half an hour. Didn't remind yourself, listen, I've got to change my way of doing things just for this morning. And so often in my life, I've found and I've come across people who, spiritually speaking, forget to be sober about certain things. And then they arrive at the vehicle of life and find their innocence suffocated. They find their joy destroyed. They find their hope gone. They find their peace in tatters because they weren't watchful. They weren't sober. And so I would like to speak to us about this and just trust the Lord to really stir something in our hearts that will be motivated not by fear, but by an unction of the Holy Spirit. So let us pray. Father, I thank you in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus that you are our God, that you are our King, that you are our fortress and our strong tower, that you are our mighty deliverer. And God, we thank you that you have given us life and life in abundance. That you have given us many precious treasures, God. And Holy Spirit, I pray that this evening you would stir our hearts, Lord, to be sober and vigilant with what you have given us. Father, bring every mind and every heart before you. And I pray that this evening, God, for the next half an hour or so, every heart and every mind here will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is wanting to say to each one of us. God, I bring my mouth and my words before you, and I pray that you would consecrate it, God, and what remains tonight will just be what you want to remain. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Matthew 26, verse 40, Jesus comes to his disciples and he says to Peter specifically, Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Jesus' greatest hour of need, the hour in which he had to decide, was he going to continue and go through with what God has given him? You'll remember that the first man, Adam, lost his authority in the Garden of Eden. When it came to the crossroads in his life where we so often come to, the crossroads where we have to choose between my way and God's way. A vehicle manufacturer has got a new billboard up in Duncan. Don't know whether you've seen it. There's no right way, there's no wrong way, just my way. And that's unfortunately where the world is at. That's a very popular thing to say. And yet Adam lost his authority. Adam lost his peace, his joy, his intimacy with God, his mandate, his calling. Lost it because he chose his way instead of God's way. And here we see Jesus in a garden as well. Just as Adam was in a garden wrestling with this question, should I do what comes naturally and easily to me, or should I go the way that God wants me to go? And Jesus is faced with all these emotions and things from the inside and from the outside. And he has to make a choice. Will I go through with the cross? Or will I choose a better way? And we know the story. We know how Jesus won the victory for us in the cross, in the garden. Took him to the cross. But he, and it's so amazing about Jesus, the Son of God, registered a need for people to come around him, alongside him, and pray with him. And he said, guys, can't you just please pray with me for just this hour? My soul is heavy and I'm burdened, he told them. You must go and read the story. It's amazing, this intensity, if you allow it to grip your heart. How Jesus, as the Son of God, God incarnate, is so desperate with his love for us and to please the Father. And yet at the same time, the immensity of the challenge that lies ahead of him, that his blood vessels pop and he starts bleeding blood. The pressure that he was under. And he asked his friends, guys, just pray with me, please. And they miss it and they fall asleep. And he comes to them and he says, guys, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I've experienced this many times in my life, where the flesh is just the thing that dictates to me what I should. And the flesh is basically just a synonym for a whole cluster of things that would want us to do things our way. Our emotions, our urges, our desires, our passions, our fears, those things want to drive us away from God. And Jesus says, watch and pray. Because it comes naturally, I don't know about you, but it comes naturally sometimes, especially at the beginning when you just get saved, you're so in love with God. You're so in love with that passion that He has placed in your heart. That carries you, there's a fuel inside of you that drives you to please Him. But after a while, as you begin to get used to things, and things become stale, you may become a little bit familiar with things, the old habits kick in again. The devil will come back to you and say, see, that's evidence that you're not saved. It's evidence that evening when you gave your heart to the Lord, there was just an emotion. That was pressure. There's no such thing as a leopard being able to change his spots. And it comes with condemnation. Sometimes you would move from point A to point B. You would move from Pretoria, where you have all your wonderful friends around you and believers around you and people who can trust the Lord with you and sing songs with you. And you go home to Pitsonavata or you go home to wherever. And suddenly it seems if your faith is just gone. The moment you got off that Intercape bus, your faith has just been stolen from you. Or you're back in that familiar scenario where things smell the same. Things sound the same. Everybody knows you as so and so. They don't know about the encounter you had with God here. They don't know about how your life was transformed. They don't know about how God spoke to you powerfully through so many different people until one day you ran smack bang into His love. They don't know that. They just see that you still sound the same. You walk the same. And they expect the same things. And then the challenge comes upon us to be still, be sober and vigilant over what God has given us. Be vigilant over the treasure that the Lord has placed in our hearts. And here the word says that the Spirit is willing. That part of us, that supernatural part about us that we sometimes forget. And I'm constantly amazed how easily we forget that. How often I have people coming into my office and they relate to God as if they are mere natural beings. As if the best thing that they have to give to God is their determination or their willpower or their ability to dream dreams for God and to work with God. As if that is what defines them as being Christian. Thinking lovely thoughts now, nice thoughts now, speaking nicely now, not cursing now, doing all these wonderful nice things, as if that is what makes us Christian. And they forget that we have been born again. By the way, that isn't a term that charismatic people thought up or Pentecostal people thought of being born again. Jesus himself said, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The guys that those of us who have accepted Christ, you are born of supernatural seed. As Damon has testified here tonight, his physical and emotional and mental and sexual abuse do not define him. The fact that he has been born again of incorruptible, supernatural, holy seed, that defines him. That gives him confidence to stand in front of people and proclaim the thing that would shame him the most as a testimony of grace. A thing that would keep him in bondage for the rest of his life, that would determine to him how he must live, how he must relate to his wife, to his kids. He stood up and he said, no, I have been born of incorruptible seed. That's what defines me. I've got God living inside of me. And Jesus says, that part of you is willing. But we neglect that part. We feed the flesh through stuff that we read, stuff that we listen to. Those things come easily to us. And here, I just want to share a few principles with us. How to keep the spirit strong and the flesh starved. Because the thing which you feed will control your life. And the Bible is very clear about it. It says, how can a man take fire into his bosom and not expect to be burned? How can we feed certain things in our lives and not expect those things to dominate our lives? How can we starve certain things in our lives and not expect those things when the moment comes, when crunch times come, when we have to step up to the plate, there's no strength inside of us. Because we've neglected some things. And I want to just stir our hearts a little bit this evening and exhort us. Ephesians 6 verse 11. Remember this portion of scripture as well. Put on the whole armor of God. Paul is saying, by implication, we can take on some parts and not some other parts. And says, put on the whole armor, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the devil didn't go extinct since Paul wrote this letter. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Last time I spoke to us about this, that he uses the word stand there a few times. And the first time he uses it, it refers to a wrestling contest, where you position yourself directly opposite somebody else and say, you are not crossing this line. You are not taking this territory. You are not entering my home. You are not entering my mind. You are not entering my health. You are not entering my finances. You are not entering my relationships. You are not entering my future. This line I've drawn in the sand, and I stand. I oppose what comes against me, what comes to steal my faith, what comes to steal my joy, what comes to steal my hope, what comes to steal my enthusiasm. I stand against it. And the last time he uses the word stand there, it actually refers not to just standing there after you've been engaged in a battle and you're just so happy that you made it. No, it means you stand after you have fought, ready for the next battle. So to somebody just this morning who said, you know, it just amazes her how often the reward for good work is harder work, more responsibility. And that's a fact of life in the natural as well as in the spiritual. God wants to take us from victory to victory. Once we've conquered one thing, I don't know how many of you have sometimes asked, Lord God, you know, I thought this would be the battle I'll have to fight. Now I have the victory. Now everybody would be at peace with me. Anything would be at peace with me. Then the next thing comes along. And God wants us to use the experiences of the past where we gain victory over that shame that would isolate us, that would cause us to withdraw when we're within a group of people different than us. And I would withdraw and I would remain within myself, or I would make silly jokes and break somebody else down before somebody else can get to know me. And God can give me, and I come to the legacy seminar, and we deal with those things, with the hurts from the past, and I deal with them. And I'm able to come out of my skin, so to speak. Learn new habits. Make friends within a small group. People whom I can trust. And people who can trust and rely on me. And I grow in those areas to a place now where I can go out, and as Philip has preached about last week, I can go out and I can take on the iron chariots out there. So many people want to run at those iron chariots, and yet there are things in their own lives that they're neglecting. It's sometimes easier to take on the world than take on yourself. It's sometimes easier to want to change the world than changing yourself. Because we know ourselves. And yet God says there's no need for you to fear yourself. That sounds funny. But sometimes, guys, we fear ourselves. We fear the things inside of us. We fear when we come to that moment and we have to make certain choices which our ancestors made, we fear we might make the same ones. Mess up the same way. Destroy the same lives. The same chip of the old block. We think that those things determine our lives. And God is saying, no, it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Ephesians 6 verse 14. I just quickly want to look at our weapons. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And I spoke about this. I'm not going to stop there. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Sometimes people pray for 5 minutes and then it's like, okay, now I've prayed everything. Here Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. That's why the Holy Spirit came. Some of you guys must just come to the intercession meetings we have the first Thursday of every month and experience the joy of being able to pray with God and other believers for an hour and a half, and afterwards you feel, but there's still so much we can pray, we want to pray. I had the wonderful privilege this last week of going down to Cape Town, and my best friend called me up and he said he's been put in charge of 5 farms there to manage in the Grabo Valley to Apple Valley. And where they're living now is really like a piece of heaven. Incredible. They've got this beautiful house just opposite a massive lake. You hear the fish eagles coming across in the late afternoon and early morning. You got your canoe for just relaxing, having your quiet time there. It's beautiful. It's incredible. Just 2 years before that, they were in Saudi Arabia in the desert, literally. There's nothing, where he was arrested. And God has really changed their fortunes around, changed their destiny around. But it's always been faithful to the call of God. And here he arrives on this farm and everything is so tranquil. Everything is so beautiful and quiet. And we prayed when he first arrived at the farm, just for the Lord's purpose. And I just felt that one of the greatest challenges coming his way is just complacency. Everything is so nice, so beautiful. And I felt there was an urgency still in the spirit that God had given him. So he phoned me up a while ago and he said, I need to come and just pray with him. You buy my plane ticket and you fly me down. We got a group of guys together and we just went in there. And 5 farms, massive place. And we went prayer walking for a few days, just across the valley. And it was incredible the stuff that God showed us. How the Holy Spirit showed the rest of us who weren't familiar with the farm stuff that only Hannes knew. And how the Lord had been challenging him to turn the whole direction of that trust around from where they were just focus upon making as much money as they possibly could to a whole system of servant leadership. Where the priority for the farm would be the people, not the apples. And management put up a lot of resistance and said, but you can't do this, it doesn't work. We've tried to uplift people, it doesn't work. And he said, now I'm going to push through. This is what God has said. And he got us together and we prayed. And the Lord has been faithful. And God has blessed them this year with a bumper crop, the biggest crop they've ever had. In spite of it being the worst economic situation, in spite of them having the worst heat waves down in the Western Cape, they shouldn't have had the results which they had. But they had it because he consecrated the ground to God. So God, this farm is yours. This land belongs to you. And now we're saying, Father, thank you. You've put your seal upon this, upon his heart's desire. Now he's saying, God, show us how to change those 300 odd people who work on those farms and about 1,200 migrant laborers who work there as well. Show us what you want to do with him. Now he's busy changing the entire core values of the farm. We've had three people just died recently because of faction fights between various groups. And they say the ancestors are unhappy now because we're bringing the gospel in there. Well, that's resistance in the spirit. There's demonic things of Freemasonry and stuff resisting the move of the Holy Spirit there. You know, walking there with him being a farmer, that felt so right. That's the kingdom. Not limited to the stage where we pray and do funny things. But there where the rubber meets the road. There where people's lives are being changed, where decisions have to be made as to how much money is being paid to those workers as a minimum wage. What kind of houses are they living in? Will they get shares or won't they get shares? That's where the kingdom needs to come. And that's where we need to stand together. We need to pray with the Holy Spirit. What are you saying? What's your purpose for this farm? What's your purpose for these people living here? And I want to encourage you guys, there are dreams in some of your hearts that are scaring you right now. Continue nurturing them. Continue praying about them. But at the same time, you'll notice something about this the scripture, the arm of God. There's nothing to cover your back. You need to be cultivating that relationship between Hannes and myself. Started 12 years ago, 13 years ago. Where we will go to war with and for one another and for our kids. And some of you, God has been placing relationships in your life and you're walking away from them. Cultivate them. Nurture them. Allow the Holy Spirit to forge your hearts together inseparably. Covenant between you. I'm getting sidetracked. Ephesians 6 verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now I'm going to speak to us about the breastplate of righteousness. I spoke previously about the belt of truth. And without truth, the entire thing crumbles. Your belt is what keeps the armor together. And some people are so excited about spiritual warfare. They're so excited about doing amazing things, but they don't love the truth. They don't walk in truth. They don't walk in integrity. And they don't love the truth spelled with a capital letter T. Jesus, the ultimate truth. You cannot hope to go and fight a battle if you're not girded. If you're not girded up. Again, one of our core values is just passion of conviction, power of conviction. Are you standing for some stuff? Are you standing for things that are non-negotiable in your life? You say, listen, I might compromise on this or that, but not on this. Hopefully you're not compromising anywhere, but sometimes we've got blind spots in our lives. Are there things that you say, I will not compromise on this? That site is a no. That magazine is a no. That relationship is a no. That place is a no. A no-go area for me. But I'm going to speak to us tonight about the breastplate of righteousness. And the breastplate, and Paul uses the imagery of a Roman soldier that most of the Hebrew people, his audience, were very familiar with. Another. Believers to me was writing, they were Jews and Gentiles in Ephesus. They were very familiar with the image of the Roman soldier, an image which they hated. Because that was that image that kept them in subjugation. That image that was enforcing the rule of the Roman Empire at that stage. And he used the image of the breastplate that would be protecting the heart and all the other vital organs of the body. He said, there's no way you can go and enter a battle without the breastplate on. Without protection for your heart. Without protection for your lungs. The other vital organs in your body. That's the first place the enemy would go for. And you need to be sure that it's protected. That it's well looked after. It's a beautiful scripture that ties into this in Proverbs 4 verse 23. And you know this. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it springs the issue of life. Spring the issues of life. The Rotterdam translation says, above all that must be, it's your heart that gives life to every part of your being. And spiritually, it's the same thing. The heart he refers to, that sense of intimacy, that private world of yours. Only you have access to that private world of yours that nobody else can recognize, nobody else can see, unless you allow them in. That place that defines who you really are. And everything is stripped away. Everything you do, everything you build up, whether it's your studies, whether it's the car you drive, the clothes you wear, and all those things in your children are stripped away from what we make. The Bible is talking about the center of your existence. Proverbs 23, verse 7 defines a little better for us. It says, "For as a man thinks in his heart." Amazing. As a man thinks in his heart. So it's about thought, a place of origin, like thinking. As you think in your heart, the thought that you think. Because your thoughts eventually become your words, and your words become your habits. Your habits eventually become a lifestyle. They become your destiny. The reality is, beloved, that each one of us, as we are here because of decisions and choices which we have made. None of us here because of choices which other people have made. Yes, they influenced our lives. But unless we realize that I'm here because of a decision which I took, I'm here financially, I'm here relationally, I'm here in my emotions because of certain decisions I'm making. Yes, other people might be having an influence on my life, but I'm deciding how I will react to that. The Bible says, if I'm thinking bitter thoughts in my heart, what am I? A bitter person. If I'm thinking lustful thoughts in my heart, what am I? A lustful person. If I'm thinking vengeful thoughts, if I'm thinking thoughts of despair, you know, sometimes we think, and that's just a thought. I'm not acting on it. And so we don't guard over it. We don't watch over it. We don't resist when the enemy comes against us. And yet the Bible says, the way you think, so important. Watch your heart. Guard it. Protect it with everything that you have inside of you. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 goes on and says, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's one of these depressing scriptures. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things. And I've been there times when my heart just came in, just out of the blue, manifested something that I never thought was in there. And I know the reality of that scripture. I know the power of it. But the beauty is that the Bible doesn't leave us. It goes on and says, I, the Lord, search the heart. In other words, I know the heart. I know what's going on in the heart. And the good news is, people, bad news for us, yes, your heart is deceitful. Yes, your heart can't be trusted, left to its own. Left to its own and by itself, your heart will lead you astray. Sometimes the best advice that many people have to give us when we come with issues and questions of the heart is simply this. Follow your heart. That is such dangerous advice. Just follow your heart. Your heart will tell you what is right. The better thing to do is not to follow your heart, but to lead your heart. We must lead our hearts. We must lead it according to the principles and the footsteps of our shepherd who's leading us. You are not your emotions. You are not your thoughts. And it amazes me how often we confuse it. And we get all confused and the enemy comes in and he nails us in one area in our lives. He sows confusion in one area and suddenly everything looks confused. I'll never forget, and I say it often, when I broke up with my one previous relationship. Intense, and then when I broke up there, everything seemed in a mess. Everything seemed chaos. Seemed as if I didn't know who I was anymore. Whether I was still saved, whether I could still hear from God because I missed it in one area. And fortunately, I had a friend who loved me enough to clap some sense into my core. He told me, but listen, you're a man of God, go back to the Word of God, have the Word of God define you, not your circumstances. Get up out of your pity party and go on with your life. It wasn't what I wanted to hear, but it was what I needed to hear. I had to lead my heart. Otherwise, it would have led me deeper and deeper into a pit of despair, a pit of frustration, a pit of depression. And I know people have been there and still there years later. And I read a shocking story in a Christian magazine just the other day, and I told the guys, actually my wife, just get the magazine out of our house, get it out of the church office, I don't want anything to do with it. Just about a beautiful story about this woman who was married, and then she met somebody else, and so she left Afrikaans, a huwelijksmaat, for a sielsgenoot. She left a marriage partner for a soulmate. Why? Because her heart told her it's the right thing to do. And what's her advice now to other people who find themselves in the same situation? Follow your heart. And it sounds so nice. It sounds so right. I believe as the time is long gone, where we can believe everything just because in a Christian magazine. Where we can believe everything just because a Christian artist sings it. We have to be sober and vigilant. Some people sing Christian songs that are just glorified sentimentality nonsense. That gives you no hope except what you can conjure up in your emotions. That leaves the cross out of it forever. And the cross is the thing that defines us. The cross is the thing that gives us hope, that centers our lives. Guard your heart. And the beautiful thing here we see in Jeremiah 17 verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart, God says. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And it was years ago, I was still single, and I heard one of my cousins speaking to my mom and just confessing something in his life. I had grown up in a very sheltered environment where mom and my dad guarded us vigilantly and diligently with the word of God and raised us to love the Lord with all our hearts. And I heard him just confessing how he had molested somebody. And that scared the living daylights out of me because that was the same blood that coursed through my veins. And that was when the scripture became a reality to me. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me then and said, the heart is deceitful. You must deal with it. You must deal with that generational thing that's coming, that's just hovering over you. It's whispering this fear in your ear. It's the same blood in your veins, and it's a matter of time before you do it as well. Your cousins are doing it. Your grandfather did it. The same thing will happen to you. It doesn't matter how hard you try. And I had to take authority over it. And some of us, we believe those lies. We just leave it. We try and think ourselves out of it. And I had to deal with it decisively. I had to go with someone and pray and said, this is what I recognize in my bloodline. This is what I see. These are the demons trying to intimidate me. I bring it to the light. And as you bring things to the light, the power of the truth and of the light destroys the power of shame. Some of our hearts have grown so weak, so small. Medical personnel will tell you that sometimes when they open up people, they see the heart of a 70-year-old in the body of a 30-year-old man. An old heart in a young man's body because of addictions or cholesterol or whatever. A tired heart in a young man's body. They will also tell you that at times they see a young heart, a strong heart in an old man's body. Why? Because the heart is being kept alive by hope. It's being kept alive by vitality, by faith, by strength. How young is your heart? How strong is your heart? When I was praying before, and I just saw some of our hearts just being pierced by so many arrows. Some of us are like the walking dead. So many arrows are sticking out of our hearts because of stuff that we've allowed in. We've tried to defend ourselves, and God is good. He's got good news for us tonight, beloved. Ezekiel 36 verse 26. So yes, your heart is deceitful above all else, when it's left to itself. But God didn't leave us. He didn't just leave us with our deceitful hearts. You know, the Bible from Genesis all the way to Malachi is basically a story about how deceitful the heart of man is. Man makes promises and he breaks them. Man makes promises and he breaks them. And yet in the midst of all that deceit and all that chaos, here comes this beautiful promise from God. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone, the deceitful thing, out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Isn't it worth protecting? Isn't it worth guarding that new heart? From time to time, the Lord allows us, even those believers who've been walking with Him for a while, just to experience again what it feels when we're not with Him. just through a weakness, something we stumble over. Because it's so important for us to remember the difference between a harp that's cold and a harp that's fresh and innocent. You remember what it feels like? The first time God came and did surgery on your eyes. And He saved you. And your eyes were opened up and you could look through new eyes at the world, at people around you, at your enemies. And you could love them not because somebody told you to love them, but because you wanted to. Because there was something inside of you that wanted to love them. Wanted to embrace them. Wanted to try again. And we need to stay forever young, people. In our hearts. Watch over it. Guard over it. We can't do it in our own strength. Romans 1 verse 16 tells us how. The scripture that redefined Martin Luther's life. And Paul is writing and he's saying, and I just coming back to this again. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Gentile, to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. And I've just realized, and this comes back to the point again, saying, God, I will not settle for powerless life. I will not settle for a life that doesn't have your power in it. That doesn't have the reality of your word in it. And some of us have settled for that. Some of us have made a peace with just surviving. Just getting by. Just not being badgered by the enemy. God is saying no. The gospel, the good news is, beloved, that God has come to give us power. Dunamis. Explosive power. That doesn't make us victims. That take us from being victims. I say it often, but I want to say it to you again. I could go down to that farm and I could look at those little farm laborers, boys, those kids, those men lying next to those little houses in a drunken stupor because they've lost hope. And I could look at them with faith and with hope because I was there. Because my family was there. Decades ago, that's where my folks lived. That's where my dad was sodomized when he was a young boy. That's where he had to flee for his life. That's where he had to protect his sisters against the alcoholic dad until the gospel entered his life and changed his life. And not once did I hear him raise his voice against my mom. Not once did he lift his hand against us in anger. Not once did alcohol cross his lips. Why? Because he was so wonderful? No, because the gospel of Christ is power unto salvation. And I and my three brothers can serve the Lord, can make a difference because somebody said yes to the gospel of Christ that came into his life. If ever there was a man that should have been angry, that should have been bitter, it was him. And yet the gospel entered his life and changed him and lifted him up out of those dark circumstances. And today, there's hope. So I will not apologize for that scripture. I will not apologize for the fact that I believe the gospel of God is power. And to everyone that believes, but yet if our hearts bleed through accusation and our hearts bleed through bitterness, we live powerless lives. Because how can you enter a battlefield and run against the enemy knowing you don't have your breastplate on? If we run like this, covering our hearts, protecting our hearts, we've only got two hands and it's not enough to protect every part of our body. And the good news is we don't have to protect ourselves. That there is a breastplate that God has given us. In Romans 3 verse 20 says this, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Some of us have been trying just so hard. I'm just being so tired tonight of trying to make this thing work. And God says, you don't have to. It doesn't matter how hard you try. You don't have to because no effort will be good enough. No one can fulfill the law. 100%. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Verse 25 is beautiful. It says, God set Jesus forth as a propitiation by His blood. In other words, He used Jesus, saw in Jesus all of us, Jesus was obedient on our behalf. Some of us are being knocked silly by the devil because of our disobedience. Jesus was obedient on our behalf. Some of us are trying so hard to be obedient, being obedient in our own strength, and it's tiring, it tires you out, it leaves you with no power. You're just trying to make your life work. And here Paul says, no, Jesus has been set forth as a propitiation. Beloved, that just means that Jesus was obedient to every letter of the law 100% on your behalf. He was obedient on your behalf. And he suffered on your behalf. And he was punished on your behalf. And he's reigning on your behalf. So that's why Paul says that this life that I now live in the flesh, I still live in this body, he says, even though I've been crucified with Christ and I've been buried in him and risen with him, I still have to live this life in this flesh. He says, I no longer live. Christ lives in me. And this life I now live in the flesh, I live according to the faith of the Son of God. Christ has fulfilled everything you are going through. Everything the enemy is nailing you with, saints. Anything, everything the enemy is throwing against your heart, Jesus has stood where you stand. He has stood and he has taken those arrows into his own heart. And so for you to take it upon yourself is so unnecessary. So wasteful. So tragic. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors. Okay, listen to this. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is powerful and it blows me away every time I read this. He made him who knew no sin. He didn't just put sin on him. So, Jesus, I look at you as if you had committed all the sins in the world. Which is, by the way I did look at him. But he went one step further. He made him sin. He made him sin. Jesus took into himself and upon himself and became sin on our behalf. And that's why people who say that, no, Jesus just really imagined that he just felt as if he was forsaken by God. He wasn't really. He was just in that emotional state. Miss the scriptures completely. Because God could not look at Jesus. God could not remain with Jesus at that moment because he's a holy, awesome God. And light doesn't have fellowship with darkness. And even though the Father wanted to be with Jesus, he couldn't. Because Jesus at that moment was sin. And in that moment as he hung on the cross, I hung there. And you hung there. And all of humanity hung there. In that moment. And that's what we have as our breastplate. Emblazoned on our hearts, the cross of Jesus. And at times we walk into this life with a cross held like that. With a cross on a little necklace hung around our necks. With a cross against some long, elongated hat that we put it against. I don't want to knock anybody. But the cross is here on our hearts, engraved on our hearts. The Word of God says that Jesus, God the Father Himself, took our names and engraved them in the palm of His hand. And on our hearts, what the enemy sees, what God sees is the cross of Jesus. Are we seeing that? Or have we begun to take up our position in front of the cross? And as we're marching into battle and as we're putting up resistance, living this life, have we left the cross behind us? Are we marching ahead of the cross? And the call is coming to us tonight, saints. The righteousness God has given us. Read that verse again with me, verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus made sin for us. And then something I'm still struggling to get my mind across, and it will take me eternity to do that. That just as God the Father looked at Jesus and saw my sin, so now he looks at me and sees the righteousness of Jesus on my life. Looks at me and sees me as if I've been obedient 100%. Looks at me and sees me as if I suffered for my sin. Looks at me and sees me as if I died for my sin. Looks at me and sees me as if I'm reigning over circumstances in my life. And that's the reality of what we have over our hearts. And the devil's greatest trick is to come and to get us to a place where we walk away from the breastplate. We step away from it and say, I will protect my heart. I will put up the defenses. And the arrows sneak through. My call to us tonight is simply this. Guard your heart. But not in your own strength. The first part of Ephesians 6 said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it doesn't help trying harder. It doesn't help jumping higher. Shouting louder. Even though at times when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're just so ecstatic. You want to do that. You are going to do that. But it comes from you being in Christ. It comes from you embracing the cross again. Saying, God, I want to be found in this place every day of my life. Here at the foot of this rugged old cross. Remember those beautiful old songs we used to sing? The old River Kruis. There where I can feel the splinters and embrace the splinters of the cross in all its raw, violent intensity. And the cross today is offensive. It freaks people out because there's too much blood on it. I'm saying to you that Lord is just beginning to speak to me again about the beauty of the cross. And I've just realized in my own life how often I've just walked away and I've tried things in my own strength. And no wonder there's no power when I've done that. Let's stand. I want to pray with us. I want to pray the season that we're entering in, where God is taking us. Verse 20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ. So there's another side to the coin. And that is, yes, God sees us as righteous. That's our imputed righteousness. In other words, righteousness that has been given to us, not because of anything which we have done, but because of everything that was done for us by Christ, on our behalf. But Paul goes on and says, listen, we haven't just been made righteous so I can be in right standing with God. That's what it means to be righteous. This means you can stand in front of God. And there are times when I'm just so overawed by God and I have to go on my knees. I do that often. Get the pride out of the way. But it's the breastplate of righteousness, not the breastplate of arrogance. Some people take righteousness right across to the other side where they use it as a license to do whatever they want to do. We're not talking about that. We're talking about seeing ourselves in the right perspective. Being in awe of what God has done for us. Being in awe of the cross. Being in awe of the blood of Jesus. And Paul says, listen, it's not just about yourself. Now being in right standing with God and being okay with God. And as Hebrews says, that we can enter His throne room of holiness and awesomeness. There where raw majesty and holiness dwells. There where the angels need to have seven wings with which to cover them just so they don't die in His presence. So we can enter that place anytime, anywhere, on behalf, because of the blood of Jesus. But at the same time, He says, I've been declared righteous so I can be an ambassador for Him. He has given me the ministry of reconciliation. And I found that when my confidence wanes, when I lose my confidence to present the gospel to others, it happens because I've lost my confidence in my right standing with God. Because my heart has been pierced and I've moved away from the breastplate that says, I have been made righteous by God. And somehow, somewhere along the line, I believe the lie that this thing depends on me. I've been speaking to too many people to believe that just coincidence, and I believe it's an assignment. The devil has just been using against us to move us from a place of power, move us from a place of boldness. The Word of God is very clear about it. When the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, they were filled with boldness, all boldness to speak His Word. And I believe God is bringing us back to that place where we will see the signs and the wonders, where we will see God moving and doing awesome stuff, even as He has already begun to do and move in our midst. But there's a place, believers, where we must guard our hearts. Guard your thoughts. Resist it. Take your mouth and speak over your life what God is saying. Some of you are walking around with shame that the cross of Jesus paid for 2,000 years ago. I want to lovingly rebuke you for that. How dare you wear that cloak, that flimsy cloak, instead of the breastplate that God has for you that has your name on it. Some of you are still beating yourself up over stuff that Jesus died for. His blood was shed for you. They just close their eyes. Father, we thank you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, that we can stand here tonight, God, knowing, Lord, that you are miraculous, wonderful in power. Knowing, God, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Knowing, Lord God, that you did not leave us defenseless upon this earth. Didn't leave us as little worms to be trampled upon, God. But that you chose us, handpicked us, Lord God. Even whilst we were still in our mother's womb, your word says, God, you came and with your very own fingers, with your very hand, you intimately, God, fashioned us and knit us together, put us together fearfully and wonderfully and beautifully. Chose us, God, and decided to live inside of us with your presence. Not to dwell anymore in a tabernacle made by the hands of man. Not to dwell anymore in a stone temple. But now to live within temples made of flesh and blood that you have created yourself. God's an awesome thought. God, I thank you for hearts represented here tonight. Hearts young and old. Hearts whole and broken. Hearts beating with life and hearts hemorrhaging life away. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your cross is enough for each and every one of them. And I want to appeal to you tonight as our eyes are closed. If you have never taken the breastplate of Jesus upon you, it's not a thing. It's not something you take off a wall and put upon you. It's not some theory. It's not some principle. It's a person, Christ, our breastplate. If you have never been embraced by the nail-scarred hands of the one who came all the way to the cross, who hung there willingly, joyfully, with every painful breath that he took, was thinking of you, had you on his mind, was consumed by his love for you. If you have never met the raw definition of passion, if all you know is just staleness, old bread, stuff handed down to you, you've become used to always getting second best. I'm holding before you the best the universe has to offer. And this is not an auction. I'm holding before you an offer that was made more than 2,000 years ago and which God will not retract. He will not take that offer back until the curtain gets pulled upon this earth age. But you don't know when your age here upon this earth will end. Maybe you don't know that if you would walk out of here and the curtain would be pulled upon your life, you would enter eternity without the cross. I want to say like Paul did tonight that I plead with you, I implore with you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The price has been paid. Don't live as if you have to pay the price. Don't live as if you have to bleed. Don't live as if you have to suffer. Don't live as if you have to beat yourself up just to get to heaven one day. And don't live for heaven's sake as if nobody believes in you. So I want to ask you, if you have never accepted Jesus, maybe once you did and you've walked away from Him, tonight you're just saying, Heinrich, I want to come back to that place. Please pray with me. I just want you to put your hand up real high as if you mean it. Thank you, ma'am. I see that hand. The Lord bless you. You put your hand down again. Thank you very much. Anybody else, you know that God is speaking to you. And you are here because you know God has called you. You know that He's here. You are here because you are here by divine appointment. God has been on your case. He has been speaking to you. And you've done all sorts of things to run away from Him. And yet there's been this nagging thought. And sometimes you've even sensed it. I just believe in my heart. It's like a breath, something behind you on your neck. You're trying to run away from it. That's the breath of God saying, I love you. And I want to plead with you. Just say yes. Let us pray with you. Is there anybody else? You just want to say, just pray with me. I want to say yes to this love. I want to say my days of running are over. From now on, I'll run with Him. From now on, I'll run with His strength in me. Anybody else, we just spend a few moments. This is on the most important part of this evening. I just sense that some of us here, we feel a little bit like chameleons. We have to change all the time to adapt. We use different flavors and different things But it doesn't matter how much we change from the outside, we've got this nagging suspicion, I cannot get away from myself. I want to hold before you the place where yourself was nailed to the cross. The place from which you don't have to run. I'm going to ask you to come forward and let us pray with you. Is there anybody else? Just put up your hand very quickly. Just quickly raise your right hand. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I see those hands. Lord, bless you for your courage. The Lord bless you for your courage. Jesus hung there naked on the cross. He hung there for us and He hung there for me. And I'm not asking you to come forward. When you come forward, you're going to live a perfect life. Now you're just going to live with a perfect love inside of you. And that perfect love is going to cause you to emanate love and radiance. Is there anybody else? Take one last minute. Say, Heinrich, just pray with me. I just want to stand in His glory. I just want to embrace Him and be embraced by Him. Put up your hand, or if you didn't put up your hand, then just want to come forward very quickly right now. I'll ask the facilitators as well. Just come forward very quickly, and we just want to unite our faith with yours. I'll never forget just the day when I surrendered my life to God, and most precious day of my life, and somebody knelt with me at the cross, foot of the cross, and just prayed with me. And we just want to have the same honor tonight, just to pray with you, just to join in the party, and just to join in the celebration. What's happening tonight in heaven? I want us all just to extend our hands as we're standing there, just towards these precious people. I just want to take your hand. The Lord bless you, my brother. The Lord bless you. Thank you for your courage, my sister. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you, my sister. I just like to pray with these precious people. Like us all just to pray. If you guys can just pray with me and loudly pray to God. I've prayed to God before. Tonight, pray out of your heart. Say to you, the Father is closer to you. You don't have to shout. You can whisper if you want to whisper. I want you to pray with conviction. The word is going to save you. It's the cry of your heart. The Bible says that we confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, we will be saved. Father, just pray this with me. Father, thank you for the miracle that I can call you Father, not just God, not just King, not just Lord, not just Father, but my Father. Father God, I thank you for the cross. I thank you that you did not give up on me. That you came looking for me. That you came looking for me. Time and time again. Father God, tonight I thank you for the blood of your precious Son that has washed me. And that has cleansed me of all my sin. Father God, tonight I confess that I do not just sin from time to time. I am a sinner. And I thank you, God, that you have set me free from my old nature. That you have cast my sins as far away from me as the east is from the west. And I accept tonight your invitation to live life with the King. Not from a distance, but on your lap. With my head close to your heart. Father God, I thank you for the heart transplant. Thank you that I can give you my battered old heart. I can receive tonight a new, clean, innocent, joyous, hopeful, healthy, vibrant heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this man that belongs to you. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have had your hand upon him. And I thank you, Father God, that he will always know the closeness and the proximity of your hand upon his life. God, in Jesus' name. God, we thank you, Lord, that your hand is the most powerful force in his life. God, every other hand, every other force, God, we're wanting to rip him out of your hand. God, we just, this evening, we lift up the shield of faith over him, God, in Jesus' name, and declare, evil one, that you will not have him. We declare, God, that he's the son of the king. We declare, Lord God, that your purpose and your destiny for his life, Lord, will stand and will be accomplished, Father. And God, we worship you, Lord God, for a mighty warrior that you have raised up, Father, for such a time as this, in the awesome name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to ask you guys, somebody standing behind you, if you could just quickly turn with him, go with him towards your right. They're just going to speak with you and pray with you as well. There are some more things in your heart that you need prayer for. Please be honest with them. Okay? Let them pray for you. That's why we're here. Okay? Go with them. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Then I want to just extend a second invitation. If we can all stand, please, still. I really want to speak to believers, and I'm going to take the liberty now to speak to believers. I assume we all know the Lord. And I just want to pray for those of you, you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Alright, you cannot be sober, you cannot be vigilant, because your spirit isn't connected to him in an intimate way. There are times when you fall asleep, even under the preaching of the word. There are times when you fall asleep, you open up the word of God, you want to read it, you want to read the word. There's nothing wrong with your desire. God knows, and I know that you want to read the word. You want to spend time with God, but it's just so stale at times. It feels as if this blanket is being pulled over your head. I want to pray for you. The Holy Spirit comes upon you. The Holy Spirit ignites the fire in you that's going to open up your eyes. Some of you have even just in this week said, God, this is just so boring. Give me a break. You feel like just going away and doing something with your life. Anything but trying to live this religious life. I've got good news for you. God doesn't want you to live a religious life. You cannot say like Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you don't believe that it is the power of God. And it wasn't always that way. The fire didn't always burn so dimly like it's burning tonight. At times you're in the presence of God and we're worshiping and you can feel that flame flickering again, but you don't know how to switch it on yourself. I want to pray for you. I was a standard too, and I was grateful for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I'm just so sorry it took me so long. As soon as my little boy's got sense in his head, I'm going to pray for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit if he wants it. As soon as he understands about salvation and all those things. But I want to pray, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, just come to the front very quickly now. We're going to sing again, Jesus be the center of my life. And I want you guys to come forward with boldness. Come forward if you mean to come forward, as if the Holy Spirit is precious to you. Some of you have spoken in tongues a while ago and you've lost your tongue. Alright, I'm going to freak out the religious demons in this place. We're going to sing, Jesus be the center. But I want us, before we do that, guys, continue playing nice and loudly. We're going to pray in the Spirit. Yana mashitara la buntu kiyate na marantate shitera mon boroto shitaraba. Nechni na mamununo shetan na rabin na manato shetaraba. Kiana mama no shotaraba denta raba mamondo no shike na raba mamono no shataraba mama no shakaba. Kiana ramono no shitaraba. Hey! Kama shakaraba. God, we worship you. God, we exalt you in this place. You are King God. You are Rock Lord. You reign, God. You are King Father God. There's none like you, Jesus. You are a king. You are a fortress. God, we exalt you in this place. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here in this place, God. There is none like you, Lord. God, we exalt you.
Be the center of our lives. Cause you're the center of the universe. Everything was made in you. Jesus, breath of every living thing, everyone was made for you.
Hallelujah.
You hold everything together. You hold everything together. Oh Christ, be the center of our lives. Be the place we fix our eyes. Be the center of our lives. Oh Christ, be the center of our lives. Be the place we fix our eyes. Be the center of our lives.
Hallelujah. I just want you, if you've never done it, if you have done it before, would you do it again? Just lift your hands, okay? Some of you guys standing there and you want Jesus to be the center of your life and you just a little bit afraid. Don't be afraid. Okay? Safe place. Right, I'm not fighting with you. I love you. Jesus loves you. He's gentle with you. If you don't want to do it right now, it's okay. Okay, just relax. It's a time to be bold. I just want to pray for you. Father, Holy Spirit, we thank you, Lord, that you are in this place. And we pray, Spirit of God, you know that we can't make you the center. Not in our own strength, God. You know indeed, Lord, that the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But tonight, God, we thank you that the flesh has been defeated upon the cross. Tonight, we thank you, Lord God, that you have overcome hell, sin, death, and the grave, God. And you have overcome the grave. You have overcome the power of sin, the power of shame. And if you have overcome the power of sin, God, then surely, God, the flesh is nothing to you, God. We thank you, Lord, that tonight we can declare your victory over every hand raised here tonight, every heart raised here tonight. God, I think I can confess over these lives, you are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens you. You have been redeemed. You have been ransomed. You have been created in His image. You have been created to be a worshiper of God. And we thank you that tonight, Lord, we can walk away from shame. Tonight we can walk away from fear. Tonight we can walk away from anxiety. Tonight, God, we can say, even Lord, as we would run into your marvelous light, even God, as tonight we would sing again that song, we will run, God, into marvelous light. We will run into you, even as you came all the way from heaven tonight, God. We're running into you, God, into your marvelous light that has ransomed us, Father. We worship you. Hallelujah. We're just going to pray for this. Precious people here at the front, if you still need prayer, I encourage you to come to the front. We'll pray for you. We'll anoint you. Simply feel there's a gentleman here. You feel a little bit like you're caged in. And you've been told as well, just by people in your family, that you need to be in control. That's the way to live life. So you've fulfilled that role quite faithfully. In your walk with the Lord as well, it always just feels that if the straitjacket is on you. And I actually just want to say to you that God has freedom for you tonight. Freedom to express yourself, freedom to feel, freedom to cry. And I actually just feel that He wants you to do something prophetic that's going to freak you out even more. We're going to sing the song Into Marvelous Light. We're going to pray for these people as well, but during the song, if you feel the courage coming upon you, I just want to extend the invitation. Here's the stage. And I just feel that the Lord is saying, you must get onto the stage and just take a jump. All right? Take a jump off it. Jump as high as you can without breaking your ankle. Okay? Really feel just something prophetic the Lord wants you to do. It's just significant. You're taking the plunge. You're jumping off the cliff. I just actually feel that you just have this fear. when you're obedient to God, when you, there's evidence in your life, there's fruit that you're walking with God, but you know there's something He's asking of you. And you just go, God, I can't take this plunge. What if you don't catch me? God just wants you to trust me. I can go for the jump. The Lord bless you. We're going to pray for these people. I'm just going to pray for all of us. Father, I thank you, God, for your presence. It's going to be with us in this week. So you would go from this place, the fellowship of your Spirit, Lord, accompanying us. And God, that we will taste and see that the Lord is good. And we'll be able to say, God, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed. We're not ashamed because it is the power of God. And Lord, we bless you and we thank you, God, for your fire shut up in our bones as we go into this week. In Jesus' name.